Good morning. Let's take our hymn books and stand together as we begin. Number 136, we're marching to Zion. I trust that we can say that this morning. We may not be marching physically, but spiritually, we trust that's our portion this morning. Let's stand as we begin. 136. Thank you. Please be seated. Let's have a word of prayer. Our gracious Father, we bless you in this hour that we are on a journey because of what you have done in and through us through Jesus Christ. Indeed, we are marching to Zion, that beautiful city of God, that one day we shall be like you, for we shall see you as you are. We praise you in this glad hour, O Lord, that you would be pleased to condescend to us, to minister to each and every head and heart that's bowed, that we might be captivated afresh by the Lord Jesus Christ as we come before the throne of grace. Lord, may all that is done and said be done for your honor and for your glory in this hour. And we'll be careful to praise you for it's in Jesus' name we pray and ask it. Amen.
All right, we're going to sing some choruses here, and at the end of our choruses, I'll ask the children if they'd come and just meet at the front here, and let's stand and we'll start to sing these choruses. For in building a people of power.
You are the church. And it's wonderful these kids are learning that it's not the building, we, they, we're all the church. What are we going to sing next? We're going to do a new scripture song. If you'd like to sit down, we're going to look at the scripture, and we've had a few scripture songs along the way. This one was new for me again. James, really pulling them out. Are you familiar with this one at all? Ephesians 1, 18 to 21. Does it ring a bell? The song says, my eyes have been enlightened to know the hope of that which Jesus called me to, the riches of his glorious inheritance. I know the word of God is true. Far above all rule and authority, power, dominion, and might, I'm seated with Jesus, complete in his fullness, and victory is now my right. And I just wrote down a few things that Jane shared up with me. We just were able to, fortunately, get a new car. And with that new car came enlightened radio. Sirius Radio, and I don't know if you're familiar with Bill Gates' enlightened radio. And so that word really did enlighten me when I read it here. The eyes of your heart enlightened. This was a prayer by Paul that God would give the spiritual discernment to the Ephesians. And the joyful personal news is that my mortal soul has been redeemed from sin and death, and that myself, even I, and you, shall be received into heaven by Christ the Redeemer to enjoy endless eternity, the bliss and rapture of everlasting glory. I dreamt about my dad last night, and I'm not sure why, but he's in glory. And that was a glorious dream I had. So let's look at this song, and I think you're going to really enjoy it because it has a nice peppiness to it. And James will play it for us. Ephesians 1, 18 to 21.
And there's one person who's driving the bus. is the Lord Jesus, although he's far greater, far better than bus driver. I'm almost sure of that. He's like the pilot of our life, the church. And part of the responsibility of the driver is to make sure that you get from A to B safely. And that's what our Lord Jesus is. Throughout life, life is like that trip on a bus. And Jesus takes us through safely along the way so that one day he'll bring us home to be in heaven with him. I trust that that's your hope. That's our hope this morning. In him as our pilot, as our driver on that school bus of life. Let's pray. Lord, I ask you your blessings on the children this morning. That Lord, you watch over them. Help them, Lord, as they go through their week in school. Help them to learn, but also help them, Lord, to realize that they are loved in Jesus and that they can trust him in all things, whether there are difficulties or problems or good things, that he is the one who can pilot us and guide us and guide them through life. We ask these things for his name's sake. Amen. Thank you for your attentiveness.
So good to see you back.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
It's kind of nice to sit down there, I got to tell you. It really is. And listen to someone else. The song we're going to sing here, Step Into the Water, reminds me of the scripture passage in the Old Testament. When the children of Israel under Joshua's leadership had reached the Jordan River. And what happened? God said, okay, in order to get across the river, the priests have to take the Ark of the Covenant and step into the water. And once they have stepped into the water, then I will roll the water back. In other words, an act of faith on the part of the people. And that's what this song is all about, stepping out in faith in Christ and his goodness to us. Okay. Step into the water. Wade out a little bit deeper. Put your feet in the water of his love. Step into the water. Wade out a little bit deeper. Come join angels singing praises to the Lamb of God. It is time we the people stand up for what is right. It's time we squared our shoulders back, grab our swords to fight. For the Bible is our weapon, and the Spirit is our shield. The church needs more of its members to be workers in the field. Step into the water, way down a little bit deeper. Wet your feet in the water of his love. Step into the water, way down a little bit deeper. Comes your angels singing praises to the Lamb of God. Singing praises to the Lamb of God. bells ringing, come join angels singing praises to the Lamb of God. Come on, children, step into the water.
A few years ago, when I was with the quartet, and bass singers like Paul, we were on a platform, and they love to hear what they're singing. And they do this, and they cup their ear so they can hear. Well, our bass singer stepped over, and he was having a good time stepping, and he stepped over, and he just about fell off the third step right into the platform. But he didn't. We managed to save him. But after the service, a senior little lady came to me. She said, "Mom," and I said, "Yes." She said, "We believe in healing. There should be a senior need his ear healed." She thought, because he had his ear covered, but we wanted to sing that song this morning because it has a really good message that we need to be just listening and stepping out for God and stepping into the water. Get out of the water. Open into the water. Trust him and have faith. God bless you.
Scripture reading today is from Matthew 16:13-20. You can find it on page 950 in the Pew Bible if you want to read along. Starting with verse 13. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then he warned his disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Christ.
Let's come to the Lord in prayer. Let us pray. And our Father, we do continue in your presence. Thank you for this hour of prayer and praise. Thank you, Lord, that as we come, that you desire to minister, to direct our hearts and our minds, our thoughts, our very being to the throne of grace. And there, Lord, we might find peace and rest and instruction in your word. We long, O Lord, to be more like you, that you will have your will and your way within us. Our desire, Lord, as your church, is that we might be conformed into the image of your dear Son, so that we might reflect more of him and less of self. The Baptist of old, John, said that he may increase and that I would decrease. May it be so for each of us this morning. Lord, we know there are various needs that are represented here. Some who are suffering from loss. Some, Lord, who are maybe struggling at this time in some area of their life. We ask, Lord, that you will minister in your way. That you would encourage your people. That your blessing would be upon each and every one, that you draw close to those that are struggling in this time, Lord, that they would sense your presence with them, your love, and your comfort. We pray, Lord, for those that have maybe physical needs, having difficulty, Lord, making ends meet. And we pray, Lord, that you will meet their need in every which way, and that we, as your church, might help and assist to minister to them with a practical need. We would remember, Lord, this fellow Marco and his family who desire to go to Palestine, and Lord, there's so much war and fighting. We ask, Lord, that your hand of protection would be upon him and upon his family, and that, Lord, through this you might speak to him and you might direct him, Lord, to yourself. So, Lord, minister in your way, we pray. And as your word is opened, we pray that you would grant unto us liberty of spirit to understand, to hear, and as your word is proclaimed, that, Lord, you would speak and that you would give us ears to hear and hearts to receive. For we commend all of these things into your gracious care. For it's in Jesus' name we pray and ask it. Amen. Our text this morning is taken from Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. There's a story about a land surveyor, and as he conveys the story of this event, he says, "My job as a land surveyor took me to a golf course that was expanding from 9 holes to 18 holes. And using a machete to clear thick brush in an area I was mapping, I came upon a golf club that an irate player must have tossed away. It was in good condition, so I picked it up and I continued on. When I broke out of the brush onto a putting green, 2 golfers stared at me in awe. I had a machete in one hand and a golf club in the other. And behind me was a clear-cut swath leading out of the woods. There, said one of the golfers, is a guy who hates to lose his ball. Now, I don't know about you, but if I was on the 9th hole and I saw someone coming out with a golf club and machete, I think I'd be in the cart back to the clubhouse real quick. But do you ever find that there sometimes when you are maybe come halfway into a conversation and people are talking about something and you're listening in or you're hearing part of the conversation and you begin to think that they are talking about something, and then you begin to realize that it's completely different from what you thought they were speaking about? I mean, there could be folks that are talking about, you know, some sort of a recipe for some dinner, and you think they're conspiring to, you know, build a bomb or something. You see, you have a few of the details, but you don't have all of the details, and because you don't have all the details, what happens is we inevitably fall into error. I think that there are people who are like those 2 golfers in our world today. Not everyone, but certainly people that don't fully maybe understand what something is all about. They take bits and pieces of what they hear and they read and they put together a narrative to form their opinion or their belief about something. And they have maybe a little bit of knowledge and they fill in the blanks themselves. And I think there are folks who may have a similar way of thinking when it comes to the church. Are we more than bricks and mortar to some? Because there are some who may just see us as that, a building, a physical structure. because they pick up a little bit here and there and they add a little bit, and when they do this, they develop this view of the church, and oftentimes it's not a very accurate view of what we are. And indeed, maybe some of us develop some of those things that maybe don't fully reflect really who we are. And we end up with a misconception about the church. And I think it's healthy for us to clear up some misconceptions. And I'm beginning this sermon series. We're going to look at clearing up a number of misconceptions with the Lord's help over the next several weeks. And first, we need to make sure that we fully understand what the church is all about. We're going to look at worship, we're going to look at fellowship, we're going to look at ministry, missions, discipleship, evangelism, all those things. And I hope with the Lord's help we'll clear up some misconceptions. Before we address the misconception of the church's function today, we're going to address, I think, some of the misconceptions, and then we'll get into our text in conclusion. But in our passage, Jesus reveals this wonderful truth. He says, "I will build my church." So the context of the sentence is that Jesus had asked his disciples, he said, "Who do you say, or who do people say that I am?" And some, of course, had a misconception. They said, some say that you're Elijah, some John the Baptist, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And then Jesus said, "But who do you say that I am?" I'm not so much concerned, really, about the others, but who do you say that I am? And that was a big moment. And the disciples had been with Jesus for quite some time. They had walked with him, they had talked with him, they had lived with him, rubbed shoulders together with him, engaged in ministry with him. And what had they decided about this Jesus whom they were following? And Peter speaks for all of them and he says, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And he tells them that, yes, you're right. And the reason why you're right is because you didn't come to this on your own, but God revealed it to you. And he says, "On this rock, on this confession that you've made, I will build my church." Now, there's different opinions about this rock, and we won't get into that this morning. There's all sorts of different theological things. Not the time and the place. But what kind of church was Jesus going to build? What would this church look like? What would it consist of? And what is this church of which you and I are a part of? Now, some of the misconceptions of the church. Since our Lord spoke these words, there have been many opinions who have been formed of what the church is. And the first misconception is that it's a building. We had that sung about this morning a little bit, didn't we? About a building. We're not a building. No, no, no. It's like the teacher waving their finger. No, no, no. We're not a building. And some say the church consists of buildings. And you know what? I was going to do a bit of an experiment out in the front of the church, and hopefully someone was going to walk by, and I was going to ask them, say, "What do you think this is here?" And they probably would have looked at me like I was crazy. And they say, "Well, that's a church." I guarantee you that's probably what they would have said. It's a church. And some believe that the church is a sanctuary, an education building, a fellowship hall. That's what the church is. And we perpetuate this misconception all the time. Sometimes we don't even realize it. When you got this morning, where were you going? You said, "Well, I'm going to church." And when people ask you tomorrow, "What did you do yesterday morning?" You'll say, "Well, I went to church." Where is the church? Oh, it's on 28 Cambridge Street North. Down the street a couple of blocks. And many would say that the church, well, that's just a building. It's a location. That's what we go to. We do church, right? Well, here's a second misconception. The church is just an organization. And you look at the church constitution, we have officers, we have deacons, we have rules, regulations of how we govern ourselves and so forth. And we need those things. We have set times that we meet. We have membership requirements. And some would say, "Well, you're an organization. You're a religious organization." And the only difference between us and maybe the Lions Club, the Rotary Club, or whatever it might be, or a union, is that our focus is a little different. unions pay their dues, we pay our dues, we do offerings, you know. And that's how people kind of look at the church. No different than an organization of that nature. You know, they do their thing and we do our thing. And the church, to some, is no more important than any other organization. And many would say that the church is just an organization. What about this misconception? Well, the church is just open on Sunday. It's just open on Sunday. And if you had a prayer meeting on Wednesday nights, you'd say it's open on Sundays and Wednesdays, or it's open every third Monday for knits and needles. And that's it, or the odd Saturday. And we come to church 2 days a week, maybe a couple hours on Sunday, and for a couple of more during the week. And the rest of the time, we say, well, we're free. You know, we've done church. This is it. We're just open on Sunday. Here's the fourth misconception. Now, this one might hurt a little bit. I'm not here to hurt. But the church exists to serve me. And when things aren't going right in my life, I go to church and they should take care of me. Now the church, yes, we should take care of each other, yes. But the thing that follows along with that thinking is that I don't have to do anything for the church. But they have to do everything for me. You know, I've had people come to me and they ask me, what do you think your church can offer me? And I say, well, what can you offer the church? And they get caught off guard. You mean you want me to serve? Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. What do you have to offer? It reminds me of a story of three pastors who got together who had a bat infestation problem. And they got together, and the one pastor said, well, you know, these bats have been terrible in the auditorium. So I took a shotgun, and I tried to shoot them all. And I did damage to the ceiling. And, of course, the deacons got upset with me about that, and it didn't solve the bat problem. Well, the other pastor, he said, well, what I did is I captured them all. I drove 50 kilometers down the road, and I let them all go. And then when I got back to church, they all made their way back to church. So that didn't solve the problem. The third pastor said, oh, I got rid of them, no problem. He says, all I did was I baptized them on Sunday and had them join church membership, and I haven't seen them since. Does the church just exist to serve me? No, dear friends, we know that. People think that way, and they say, well, I'm going to go find another church. Because I should be the central figure of the church. No. What about this misconception? We become part of the church by joining it. We find a church, we like it, we join it, it's wonderful, it's great. We get our name on the roll, and those are some of the misconceptions about the church. And I think the thing about misconceptions is they usually do have some aspect of truth about them, don't they? But misconceptions consist of half-truths, and therefore they become fully wrong, and I'd like us to clear up some things with my time remaining. The church, the word translated church in our English Bible, comes from a Greek word which is ecclesia. The word means, in essence, to call out. That's the church. The called out ones. The Lord has called us out of this world into his kingdom. The Lord has called us out of that life of sin and called us and set us free so that we might live for him. He's called us out. Now, that's a spiritual truth, and we practice that in a physical way every Sunday because we are called out from the world and we come into this place of worship together as the body of Christ. So the Greek word kaleo means to call out. We're the called out ones. However, the English word church, it doesn't come from ecclesia. It comes from a word chureakon. Chureakon. It's found in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 10. John says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. That's where we get this idea of dedicated to the Lord. So we are the called out ones dedicated to the Lord. That's really what the church is all about, or our understanding should be from a biblical perspective. So the church is the body of Christ, and he put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 22. And he's the head of the body, the church. Christ is our head. And the church is the extension of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the head, and those who make up the church, we are his body. And what Jesus did when he was physically on earth, the church, his body, does now. Now, there are people who will say, well, Pastor, that can't really be right. We can't feed the 5,000 that the Lord did. No, we can feed more than 5,000. More. How much food is in this bin? That's only one bin from one church. How many other bins in other different churches? All over the world. And God, through Christ, is ministering to people in a physical, tangible way with just physical food. What about knits and needles? Naked, and you clothed me. Hundreds of thousands of children and adults and others with scarves and mitts and hats and other little items of clothing. How many people have been clothed who were naked through the ministry of this church? Do you see how the Lord Jesus, how he works in and through his body in order to minister to a lost and dying world? That's the great privilege that we have as the people of God. We're the church. We're not a Rotary Club. We're not a Legion. And they all have their places and so forth. We're not an organization, but we are an organism. You, we read, as Paul wrote, you are the body of Christ. Now, we all know our physical body, and when these physical bodies, when cells die, cells begin to replicate, don't they? And whether it's bone or tissue and so forth, when that cell replicates, it has the exact same DNA as every other cell within your body. It's the same. And the DNA of the church is Jesus Christ. Christ in you and me, the hope of glory. He's within us. We all have that same spiritual DNA. It's Jesus. It's him. We're the body of the living Lord. And the church is the presence of Christ in the world today, not just maybe a couple of times when we come during the week, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, the church, God's people, are being used by him throughout the world for the extension of his kingdom. We're the church building. Do you not know, Paul writes, that you are God's temple, and that God's Spirit dwells in you? He dwells within you. He lives within this tabernacle of flesh. We read, in him you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit, in Ephesians 2. Paul says, greet also the church in their house. Yes, the church gathered in buildings, but dear friends, they were more than just bricks and mortar. The building that we gather in is a beautiful house of worship. But it's not the church. You and I are the church. Because God's Spirit dwells in temples not made with hands. He dwells within these temples. And we're occupied by God. And wherever we are and wherever we go, we are the church. In Lindsay, or your neighborhood, wherever it might be, you and I are the church. And we exist to serve God and to each other. To him be glory in the church, Ephesians chapter 3. And the church's primary reason for existence is to worship God and to give him the glory, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, in Ephesians 4. And the church, yes, should serve you. We should serve each other. We serve others who are part of this wonderful body of Christ. How do I become a part of it? That's the marvelous thing. How do I become a part of this church? We read in Acts chapter 2, verse 41, "So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls." And down to Acts chapter 5, "And more than ever, believers were added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women." You see, we come a part of this wonderful body by grace through faith, belief. And we come to Christ as we are, and we trust him as our personal Savior. And we enter into that new and living way, and we let him dwell within us and have the rule and the reign within us, so that we are his hands and his feet, his eyes and his ears, as we minister in this world for him. I trust that you're a part of it this morning. And maybe you've lost a little bit of that through maybe a misconception or two. I hope those things have been cleared up and you recognize you are a part of the most wonderful organization, if I could call it that, or agency of Christ, if I could call it that as well. You're part of it this morning. There's no other means whereby which God has chosen, and yet through the local church and the ministry of his church, which he desires to reach people through. It's his body. And we have the privilege and the honor to be a part of it. It's exciting times, friends. It really is, if we see it that way. That we can see people touched and changed by the grace of God and enter into the new and living way through Christ, through the ministry of this church. I envision one day that this place will be filled. Not for my ego. May it never be so. Not for me, but for his honor and for his glory. That people will come and find in this place the Lord Jesus Christ and find his body here that loves them and cares for them and wants to nurture them and help them along the journey, along the way, so that this place will indeed be a house of Bethel. May it be so, for his name's sake. We are the church. Amen. Number 117, we are the church. Let's stand. We are God's people, 117. Share and care and live with his head.